Welcome back to Head Games Radio with a quick analysis, hot stove of the pitchers and the other free agents available. So, continuing this discussion, just because you do well in the National League doesn't mean you're necessarily going to do well in the American League. It also is something that you can apply the same saying about statistics, damn lies and statistics, as they say, that numbers don't necessarily translate into victories. Who are those pitchers? And then let's move on to the hitters available, like a Gary Matthews or a Soriano or a Juan Pierre or maybe an Aramis Ramirez or Carlos Lee. Who are those people you think are the best bets to add value in terms of W's to your team?
Well, I think you're going to be taking a look at, some of those older pitchers, depending upon their price. You know, the game is really tailor-made a little bit better to older pitching these days than it used to be. They're only looking for six innings out of you, and then they'll go to their bullpen. So if you're a Clemens who gives you great six innings, you got to be taking a look at that and feeling pretty good about that. So I think the guys we talked about, when you're talking about, you know, a Zito in there, a Schmidt from San Francisco, and those older Glavin, Clemens, and a Pettit if his elbow's healthy. Those are all great names to help you get some W's out there.
And even with Clemens, he's had the lowest earned run average the last 3 years, but the question would be, does he really think honestly that there will be many teams out there that will allow him to basically show up in June?
Well, I really think it depends upon what you're trying to do with your club and where you are. If you've got a veteran club, and I know from experience conversations with the Yankees, they allow a lot of their players to travel on their own. Now, Roger takes that a little bit further, and at least with Houston, is on the bench for home games and when he pitches on the road. So he changes around a little bit, but I think you do a check with your players on your club if you're going to get in that situation, and you say, how do you guys feel about that? And I think, by and large, most players respect what Roger Clemens has done. Now, if you're a guy that's got 3 or 4 years in the big leagues and you want to do that, it's not going to happen. But Roger Clemens is going to the Hall of Fame, and I think people bend over backwards if they can get a guy like that on their club.
Jim Beattie, what do you think about when Derek Lowe left the Red Sox, albeit with a 5.32 earned run average in 2004? He signs a 4-year, $36 million deal. I think he's 28 and 23 the last 2 years. Was that worth it for them?
Well, one thing about Derek is he does give you innings. He was a big part of their success this year. Derek is not a number one starter for you. He is a guy that will give you the innings, keep you in ball games. And when you are, you know, there aren't that many pitchers that have a record over a period of time of a lot over 500. So you take a look at a guy like Derek, and especially with the way that they talk about the money that's going to be thrown around from now on with all the success of baseball, how well it's been doing, you know, $9 million a year for a pitcher like Derek Lowe might be a bargain.
Let's ask also about St. Louis. The impact of winning a championship, Jeff Suppan, 8 consecutive years with 30-plus starts, but only $9 million in salary the last 3 years. Is he a bargain?
Well, I think you have to take a look at players. You really don't get too excited about what they do in the postseason. Certainly that is an indication of what type of challenge they will accept and how they perform under pressure. But there's a couple players, and it happens every year, that have career years right before they become free agents. You end up signing them to a contract that kind of fits in with someone who's had a career like that every year, and then they don't live up to that contract. I think a guy like that this year could be a Jeff Suppan. I think he is a middle-of-the-rotation guy for you. He's a number three starter in a good rotation, a championship rotation. So you're always careful. And there's a hitter or two like that in this free agent class as well.
Well, let's talk about those hitters. Soriano, Gary Matthews. One of the knocks on Gary Matthews is that he may have had 200 hits, but he had like 32 walks. He's not really like a Barry Bonds where his on-base percentage is as high as it should be.
Well, we had Gary in Baltimore early on in his career after he'd moved around a little bit, and he's a very solid defensive player. Offensively was really what people were waiting for to see what was going to happen with him. He had a career year against the Orioles when he came back and played. He is one of those guys, I think, that's getting a lot of play that hasn't had a sustained career. So you have to be careful. Adrian Beltre, a couple years ago when he signed with Seattle, he had a career year going into a contract like that. and hasn't really lived up to that contract. So you have to be careful about somebody like that. Soriano is a different guy. Soriano is a professional hitter. He is an impact bat in your lineup. There's another guy, Carlos Lee, out there that also is an impact bat.
Who would you pick, though? I mean, if you had to make that decision between those two, Soriano and Carlos Lee, separate from position, simply by impact in your lineup.
Well, I think I would go. I'm not that familiar with Carlos Lee, but I think I would go with Soriano. I think he allows you a little more flexibility. Plus,
more team
he's
speed.
Got the power, and he's got the speed. You know, you throw all that in there as a complete offensive player. Power, hits for average, runs well. He's a little bit of a free swinger, but he is an impact bat. I would go with him. I believe he's younger than Carlos Lee as well, so that's definitely in his favor.
Interesting statistic. Roger Clemens took home $664,858 per start last year. Now you've got the interesting new cultural acceptance and respect for Japanese players, and here is Daisuke Matsusaka. He's 26. He's younger than Jason Schmidt, Barry Zito. He's got better stuff, and people are looking at a monster contract for him. Would you, as a general manager, Jim Beating, putting you on the spot, would you put your eggs in that basket?
Well, I haven't seen him, but from what they tell me, he's a pretty darn good pitcher. But I also understand that he has not, they have not been happy with the bids they've received from Major League Baseball, because you've got to put a bid in probably over $10 million just to get the rights to sign him. And then once you get to sign him, Boris is his agent. You know he's going to be taking a look at least $10 million a year. As a pitcher coming over here, I think that's a pretty risky thing. I'd rather do it with a bat coming over from Japan.
Okay, well, we're going to let you go with one last question, which is one of the comeback stories, perhaps the comeback story of the year, was Frank Thomas, who left with a lack of, shall we say, respect and affection in the Chicago dugout, and comes to Oakland and explodes. He's going to be in the top five in most valuable player voting, yet they're having some problems signing him to a contract extension. He's getting older. He's had injuries. His body has allowed him, it's quoted in ESPN, to play 100-plus games in back-to-back seasons only once since he began getting injured in 2001. Is that someone that you think is worthy of an offer? Do you believe, as I've seen in the NFL, that older players sometimes are increasingly negatively affected by their age?
Well, I think Frank is a bat in your lineup. I don't think, you know, he's obviously a DH at this part of his career. I don't think he's a guy that's going to give you 160 games. But I think what's happened, they were going to be able to sign Frank early. But what's happened when they, since they signed the new agreement with the union and the ownership, there's a feeling that there's going to be a lot more money out there. You've seen guys like a J.D. Drew, who was opted out of his contract at $11 million a year, figuring there's going to be more money. And that's why I say some of those contracts that people thought were absurd, they may even be dwarfed by some of the money supposedly being spent this year. Frank Thomas, it might be one of those guys looking for him, but I think you're, as an older player, you've made your money. Find some place you're comfortable where you have a chance to win. I guess that's my feeling on it. It doesn't necessarily happen to be Frank Thomas's.
Find a place where you are going to be in the kind of system and the personalities where you can contribute. Well, thank you, Jim Beattie, as always, my friend, and good luck this offseason in your own hot stove league. We'll be looking for you.
Take care, Nick. Have a great day.
Thank you, Jim. When we come back, we'll be joined by Dr. Andrew Jacobs. It's U Sports Friday, and Fred Eng for the National Alliance for U Sports. We're going to continue speaking of this Japanese invasion of players over the last few years and the increasing respect and the infusion, the globalization of sports around the world, the impact, the NBA, Major League Baseball, maybe even football, who knows. We're going to talk about that and its impact on U Sports, the focus on money, not on character through sports. We'll be right back. You're listening to Head Games Radio on Sports Byline USA's network and Sirius Satellite Channel 122.